It took Sir Charles Wilson several days to bring in all his wounded, the baggage and the camel string. In the meantime, he fortified the camp on the river bank below Metemmah, sighting the Nordenfeldt machine guns to cover all the approaches, and he raised the walls of the Zareba to a height of 6 feet. On the third day after the battle, the chief regimental surgeon reported to him that General Stuart's wound had developed gangrene. Wilson hurried down to the hospital tent. The rotten, sweet smell of necrotic flesh was nauseating in the heat. He found Stuart lying in a bath of his own sweat under a mosquito net, over which the huge, hairy blue flies crawled, searching for some point of entry to reach the irresistible odour of the wound. It was covered with a field dressing, heavily stained with a custard yellow discharge. "I have managed to remove the bullet," the surgeon assured Wilson, then lowered his voice to a whisper that the stricken man could not hear. "The gangrene has a firm hold, sir. There is little or no hope, I'm afraid." Stuart was delirious, and mistook Wilson for General Gordon as he stooped over the camp bed.
"Thank God we were in time, Gordon. There were times when I feared we'd be too late. I offer you my congratulations for your courage and fortitude, which saved Khartoum. Yours is an achievement of which Her Majesty and every citizen of the British Empire will be justly proud."
"I am Charles Wilson, not Charles Gordon, sir," Wilson corrected him. Stuart stared at him in astonishment, then reached through the mosquito net and seized his hand.
"Oh, well done, Charles. I knew I could trust you to do your duty. Where is Gordon? Ask him to come to me at once. I want to congratulate him myself."
Wilson freed his hand and stood back from the bed. He turned to the surgeon. "Are you sedating him sufficiently? It will do him no good to become so agitated."
"I am administering 10 grains of laudanum every 2 hours, but there is little pain in the site of a wound once the gangrene takes hold."
"I will place him on the first steamer that departs downriver for Aswan. That will probably be in 2 or 3 days' time."
"Two or 3 days?" Stuart had only picked up the last few sentences. "Why are you sending Gordon down to Aswan? And why 2 or 3 days? Answer me that."
"The steamers will set off for Khartoum imminently, General. We have run into unforeseen but unavoidable obstacles."
"Gordon? But where is Gordon?"
"We must hope he is still holding out in Khartoum, sir, but we have had no news of him." Stuart looked around the tent with a wild, bewildered expression.
"Is this not Khartoum? Where are we? How long have we been here?"
"This is Metemmah, sir," the surgeon intervened gently. "You have been here 4 days."
4 days? Stuart's voice rose to a shout. 4 days? You have thrown away the sacrifice made by my poor lads? Why did you not push on with all speed to Khartoum instead of sitting here?"
"He is delirious," Wilson snapped at the surgeon. "Give him another dose of laudanum."
"I am not delirious," Stuart shouted. "If you don't set out for Khartoum immediately, I will see you court-martialed and shot for dereliction of your duty and cowardice in the face of the enemy, sir."
He choked and fell back, spent and muttering on his pillows. He closed his eyes and was quiet. "Poor fellow," Wilson shook his head with deep regret. "Completely out of his head and hallucinating. No appreciation of the situation. Look after him and make him comfortable." He acknowledged the doctor's salute and ducked out through the fly of the tent. He blinked in the bright sunlight, then scowled as he realized that a small group of officers was standing rigidly to attention nearby. They had certainly heard every word that had been spoken. Their expressions left no doubt of that.
"Have you gentlemen nothing better to do than laze about here?" Wilson demanded. They avoided his eyes as they saluted and walked away.
Only one stood his ground. Penrod Ballantyne was the junior officer in the group. His behaviour was impudent. He was walking the tightrope across the lethal chasm of insubordination. Wilson glowered at him.
"What are you about, Captain?" he demanded.
"I wondered if I might speak to you, sir."
"What is it, then?"
"The camels are fully recovered. Plenty of water and good feed. With your permission, I could be in Khartoum within 24 hours.
"To what purpose, Captain? Are you proposing a one-man liberation of the city?"
Wilson allowed his scowl to change to an amused smirk, an expression that was no great improvement, Penrod thought. "My purpose would be to take your dispatches to General Gordon and inform him of your intention, sir. The city is sore pressed and at the limit of its endurance. There are English women and children within the walls. It can be only days before they fall into the clutches of the Mahdi. I was hoping I might be allowed to assure General Gordon that you have his plight and that of the populace in mind." "You disapprove of my conduct of the campaign, do you? By the way, what is your name, sir?" Of course, Wilson knew his name. This was a calculated insult. "Penrod Ballantyne, 10th Hussars, sir. And no, sir, I would not presume to remark on your conduct of the campaign. I was merely offering for your consideration my local knowledge of the situation. I shall be sure to call upon you if I feel in need of your vast wisdom. I will mention your subordinate conduct in the dispatches I shall write at the conclusion of the campaign. You are to remain in this camp. I shall not detach you on any independent mission. I shall not include you in the force that I shall lead to the relief of Khartoum. At the first opportunity, you will be sent back to Cairo. You will take no further part in this campaign. Do I make myself clear, Captain?"
"Abundantly clear, sir," Penrod saluted. Wilson did not return his salute as he stamped away. Over the days that followed, Wilson spent most of his time in his headquarters tent, busying himself with his dispatches. He ordered an inventory of the remaining stores and ammunition. He inspected the fortifications of the Zareba. He drilled the men. He visited the wounded daily. But General Stuart was no longer conscious. The steamers waited at their moorings with full heads of steam in their boilers. A mood of indecision and uncertainty descended on the regiment. Nobody knew what the next step would be or when it would be taken. Sir Charles Wilson issued no orders of consequence. On the evening of the third day, Penrod went down to the camel lines and found Yakub. While he made a pretense of inspecting the animals, he whispered, "Have the camels ready and the water skins filled. The password for the sentries when you leave the Zareba will be Waterloo. I will meet you at midnight by the little mosque on the far side of Matema village."
Yakob looked at him askance.
"We have been ordered to take messages to Gordon Pasha."
Yakob was at the rendezvous, and they set out southwards at a rate that would take them beyond pursuit by dawn.
2 days to Khartoum, Penrod thought grimly, and my career in ruins. Wilson will throw me to the lions. I hope Rebecca Benbrook appreciates my efforts on her behalf.